Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you've come to worship the Lord today. Okay, I got one amen somewhere over here. Amen? All right, let's stand and turn in our hymn books, page 264. 264, He is able to deliver thee. Look, we're going to sing it all. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world has sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin or breath, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, He will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee.
Amen. That word delivers another word for salvation. Indeed, He is able to deliver. He is able to save regardless. And I'm so thankful to be able to sing His praises and lift up His lovely name this morning together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's good to see you. I think some of us in some areas are starting to get through the crud. And maybe some others are coming down with it or whatever, but I'm sure glad to see you all. Maybe we're doing this in shifts, I don't know. But it's good to be here today to worship the Lord together and trust He's going to meet with us in a tremendous and beautiful way. What we want to do is welcome each other. Church family, please get around and welcome our visitors. Let them know that you're so very thankful. The Lord has brought them out our way today. Let's do that right now.
If you'll return back to your seats, let's turn to page 225. We're going to sing the first and last verse. Time is filled with swift transition. Not a burden moved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
You may be seated. Let's turn to page 433. I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed of my Redeemer. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. On the last, I have a home prepared for me since I have been redeemed, where I shall dwell eternally since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name.
You can be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if y'all take your place, we'll get ready to receive this morning's offering and go over a few announcements. I'd like to invite all the, well, I guess this is for senior citizens, I suppose. Well, for those who have more time on their hands to sit back and enjoy life a little more, we'd like to invite you Thursday at 11 o'clock from 11 to 2 for the Seek the Metro Saints. Now we're going to have ask everybody, potluck type thing, just so everybody kind of bring their own stuff here. If you have any questions, see Miss Sandra or her preacher or myself or Teresa, or we can kind of help you with that. Everybody, well, I guess if you got time on your hands, you want to come, why not? We'll come and this is the first meeting. So what are we expecting? I don't know. Come and find out. So we'd like to see everybody there Thursday between 11 and 2. The fifth Sunday this year. Wow. Kind of limited that one there, didn't I? So fifth Sunday this month is going to be on the 29th. Evangelist Ted Alexander is going to be our speaker for the day. Asking everybody to bring two sides and a dessert. And the church will provide the chicken. Now, there's one more thing we want y'all to bring. Very, very important. Who here has a friend? Okay. Who here has a friend who's not in church, possibly? Amen. Amen. There we go. Let's try to work on that this year. You know, have you been across the street yet or to your friend at work or somebody and say, hey, what are you doing Sunday? Can I interest you in a chicken dinner? You know, amen. Why not? They got to eat somewhere, so why not? Let's work on that. So let's see what we can get done on that one. Saturday, February the 4th, Miss Leslie Graham is going to have a baby shower. There's going to be a baby girl amongst them. Other than her, there will be girl number two in the house. Everything else is boys. You know, between their sons and the puppy dogs and everything else, all the boys. So they're going to have a girl's baby shower. And she's registered at Target and Bye Bye Baby and a few other places, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's all that she's registered at. Missionary updates. See, we have some updates at the back for the Fafawinas and David Martin. And get your letter and see what's happening new with them. And, hey, if you're looking for a place to serve, we got Sunday school that could use some help. Children's church, greeters, choir, nursery. Oh, I kind of sound like a broken record. Hey, we could use some help in those. Just go down through there and say, I can't sing. Well, let Brother John be the deciding of that, you know. And we could use some help, really, and see where you can fit in. Now, February 14th, we are going to have a Valentine's banquet. That's what this little insert out here is all about. And you turn it over in the back, and that'll give your menu what you're going to have. And I guess I could really make this sound better than it is, but it's going to be hard to do that. I mean, we have chicken cordon bleu, freshest of the fresh garden salad. Yeah, anyway, you'll pay $11 for a meal like that anywhere, okay? I'm going to be special speakers, Brother Shannon Eaton, all the way from the other side of town. And we're going to sell tickets for the things, $11 a piece. And the proceeds above that, above the meal, is we're going to have for the kids to tips, okay, for babysitting, serving water, and stuff like that to help pay for their registration for camp. Now, here won't be long. We will be announcing our yard sales time. Start preparing for that. I've had a lot of people ask me about it. Hold your stuff for just a little bit longer, okay? But March 1st is when the kids need to say, yes, I'm going or not, to get the early discount. And this can help with paying for that $25 for the early discount. I would like to meet with all the parents tonight after church, right down front, and we'll discuss what they can do with this Valentine's Bake as far as helping and everything. So, Brother Gerardo, would you come here and pray for us, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love for us, your mercy. Yes. Thank you for your presence in this church, Lord.
Amen.
Our pastor, be with him as he speaks this morning. May you be glorified in our services. Father, be with each one here. Bless them, Lord. If they're ailing, I pray that you'll just help them to recover. Give them the strength to recover from the illness. And Father, most of all, may we have an ear to hear and a heart to receive
Amen.
Your message today. Father, be with the offering, the gift, and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please pray for me as I sing What a Savior.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Savior, oh hallelujah.
Savior. What a Savior indeed. Really the should be, as always, the focus of our teaching and preaching. And then we enter into this 2017th year. Our theme is In Christ We Can. In Christ We Can. And this morning we want to look at the tremendous truths from John chapter 10, verse 10. In Christ, we can have abundant life. Would you stand with me? Reading just that one verse this morning. Well, let's back up just a bit. We'll begin. We read verse 9 with it. John 10, verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's the way. Shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. What a contrast. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. Father, we bow before You, thanking You, Lord, for this abundant life, life in Jesus. Father, we ask You for Your mercy. Lord, I confess how great I need Your mercy today, Your grace, need Your clarity to be able to share something of meaning, of substance, of eternal nature with my dear friends as we gather here today. Lord, please, we claim Your promise that where two or three are gathered in Your name, that You are there in our midst. So, Father, we're grateful, we're thankful for Your presence. Thankful that we do not gather in vain, we do not gather in our own name, but in Your name, the lovely name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Lord, I'm asking that You'd attend this meeting with Your power as well. Get the preacher out of the way, that these dear folk can hear from You. Deliver Your Word to our hearts. And as well, Father, we'll believe and claim the promise that Your Word will not return unto You void. That indeed it will accomplish all that You would order for it. And so, Father, today, pray for those who may be within these walls and yet do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, please, trust that the music is spoken to those hearts. I trust, Father, that You take Your Word now and through it lift up Your Son, magnify Him, and draw savingly to Yourself. And Father, for every one of us in this room that are saved, pray that our hearts would be enlarged, that our capacities would be increased to be able to love You more, serve You better, live for Your glory. In Jesus' name, we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Of course, you may be seated. In case you needed me to tell you, you're alive this morning. Evidenced by the fact that you were able to make it to Lake Worth and into this auditorium this morning. You are alive. Physically, of course, that's what we're talking about. You're alive physically. And even at that, as I look around, we may want some more verifiable evidence from some of you that you are indeed alive. The Bible talks much about a second kind of life. It's a theme of the Word of God. And of course, that is spiritual life. It's possibly alive physically and not alive spiritually. What did Jesus clearly proclaim was the reason for His coming, that you might have life. He came that you and I could have life. You and I, who were dead in trespasses and sins, might have life, eternal life. But I'm grateful that it's not just life, but that it is an abundant life. We understand there's living and then there's living abundantly. It's different. And I'd like us to look at this tremendous truth from this verse from a couple of different aspects. The aspect that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, anyone and everyone who does indeed place their faith in Him can have life. True life, eternal life, spiritual life. But as well, going beyond, wow, going beyond that destiny-changing reality to not have just life, but life abundant. Life abundant. Understand, we gather in this room today, this many folks, may well be some things going on in your life that could have you down. Could have you maybe discouraged. Could have you in some way troubled. But we also realize, I think, that that is as well part of life. We deal with such things in life. Friends, if you know, hallelujah, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, even if this very day is your last day on this earth planet, you have abundant life. You have an abundant life, indeed. And so we look at these two aspects this morning. First of all, the fact that in Christ, we can have life. In Christ, we have life. He says, I'm come that they might have life. And we realize, hopefully, that faith in Christ gives that life to us. Faith in Christ, believing in Him, grants us that life. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, it's very important. We quote this verse often in these circumstances. But it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth, he that has placed his faith on the Son has, possesses, everlasting life. Also in John chapter 20, in verse 31, we read this. It says, but these are written. And there at the end of the Gospel of John, John is trying to sum up some things. He's trying to gather those last thoughts together. And he says, these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Messiah, His sent one, the Son of God, that believing ye might have life through His name. Where does life come from? Through Jesus. Amen. Through Jesus. Wow. I never tire. I never grow weary of reflecting and talking about how we enter into this saving relationship with God. My, how we get saved. Scripture abounds with the message. I mean, from front to back, the Bible is His story, beloved. Scripture abounds with the message of how faith in Christ's work at Calvary provides the forgiveness of sin, granting eternal life. Eternal life. The question, consider this with me if you would. The question that preachers often put forward to their listeners, maybe you've used this, is you would try to witness to someone about what Christ has done for us. But that question often put to folks, if you were to die today and stand before God and He asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? But by the way, it belongs to Him. It's His heaven. This is His earth as well. We are His creatures. And He has the right to ask, why should I allow you into my heaven? If God asked you that question, what would your answer be? The question strikes, beloved, to the very heart of what you are trusting in for eternal life. What is it that you are staking eternity on to deliver you? It's a question of the ages, is it not? Being right on this question is the difference between death and life. Eternal death and eternal life. You know, there'll be no do-overs on this. There'll be no do-overs. This question, wrong and your eternity is lost. Eternity hangs in the balance. Wrong answers? There's a lot of them. Wrong answers. I've lived a good life and I've done the best that I could. Wrong answer. Well, I'm basically a good person and I've never really tried to hurt anyone. Sorry, but that's the wrong answer. Well, I belong to Metropolitan Baptist Church. Wrong answer. Well, I've been baptized. Wrong answer. Huh? Oh my, we could go on with a list. On and on. All would be the wrong answer. When the Apostle Paul was asked, and we were just talking about this event in my Sunday school class, but when the Apostle Paul was asked by the Philippian jailer the bare bones simple question, what must I do to be saved? Huh? That's it, isn't it? It doesn't get any simpler than that. What must I do to be saved? The Apostle Paul's immediate simple answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. The answer, beloved, the only right answer, rests in your faith, your trust, that Jesus Christ's payment His ransom for your sin was sufficient to save you. You're trusting Him and nothing else. Huh? Please don't weary of me quoting this passage. I've told you time and again, it's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible because it speaks right to me. It speaks to all of us. Those simple, simple words from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. By grace. By grace are ye saved through what? Faith. Faith. Believing God. Trusting what Jesus has done for us. Friend, have you purposefully, deliberately, by faith, received God's gift of salvation? Huh? By grace are you saved by faith, and that not of yourselves, what? It is the gift of God. Have you received that gift? Have you received God's gift to you of His only begotten Son to save you from your sin? In Him, in Jesus is life. Is life. Oh my. If you can declare yes, if you can indeed declare that yes, by faith you're trusting in what Jesus Christ did to save you from your sin, then you are alive. Eternally alive. I'm thankful to be able to declare to you and to all that through Jesus, you can have life. You can have life. And that life, as we read here and we see it from the lips of the Lord Jesus, that life in Christ gives to you can be a blessing of life to others. One place where the Scriptures declare that you can be a savior of life unto life or death unto death. Which would you rather? Is that even good English? Huh? I want to be a savior of life to others. What Christ does within us doesn't stay there. Huh? Well, I'm saved forever. Don't mistake it. But what He's done in you, you can't keep it in. Listen to this. In John chapter 4, verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to that dear lady at the well outside the city of Sychar. We know her as what? The woman at the well. And in John chapter 4, and verse 14, He declares to her, He says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give," notice that water's a gift. Water that He'll give. "Him," that one that received that water, "him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give shall be in him." A well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. Huh? Something about it, isn't it? It springs up. The word our Savior uses here to describe that well. A well of water. Huh. It describes not just it isn't the description of a well where you'd go out and drop your bucket down the well and pull up a pail of water. That's not the idea of this word. This idea, the word used here for well is the idea of a fountain. Isn't there a difference between a well and a fountain? I mean, again, that well, there's water down there if you can get it. But a fountain, the water is springing up, as it says here. And the idea of this word for fountain, oh my, this is Old Faithful type word. It's a word that's gushing. And it goes on, the Lord Jesus wants to make sure we understand that. He says it's a well of water, what? Springing for. Hey, it's a gusher once it gets in you. Huh? We should not be keeping it secret. I'm commenting to my dear wife as we was watching all the events of the last few days, and you know those you can tell who the Secret Service guys are, can't you? They're the guys that are like this. I mean, what are they doing? They're watching everything. They're what's their job? Their job's there to protect that one that they're protecting. The president and his family, the vice, all those dignitaries that were on the platform. I mean, whoo! Protecting. But they're secret. You and I aren't part of the Secret Service! Everybody should know you belong to Jesus. Hey, they ought to be able to tell you're alive!
Amen.
Almost jumped on the chair there, but I refrained. For your sake. Huh? If you're alive in Christ, you're a well of water. You're a gusher for Him. Yes, this life in Christ gives. It provides life to others. John chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "For the bread of God," oh my, bread and water, I can go on that. "The bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Yes, indeed. Dear one, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you about that life that can be yours in Christ. Friend, if you're here today without Jesus, you're missing life. You're missing the greatest life you could ever know. Life in Christ. Oh my. But then thirdly, we see as well as, oh my, where do you finish this subject? Life in Christ. Life in Christ defeats death. Life in Christ defeats death, and not just death, but death's condemnation. In John chapter 5, it's amazing how much of this is dealt with in that wonderful gospel, the gospel of John. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus says, and he prefaces a lot of these eternal truths with the words, "Verily, verily." It's as if he's saying, "This I want you to hear. This will be so." When you and I say amen, it's the same word. Amen. And our thought is, "Lord, make it so." Well, when Jesus says it, it will be so. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Amen. What kind of life? Everlasting life. What's that all about? It means it's a life that is what? Everlasting. Huh? Nothing temporary about it. We talked about this, that in Christ we cannot be separated from the love of God. This everlasting life. And it goes on, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. No more condemnation, beloved. This life perishes. Condemnation. Jesus says, "He that heareth my word and believeth." The believer, that one who has trusted Jesus Christ, has passed from, right? No longer is he in that condition of death. You're here this morning, just like I was before I got saved. You were under death, a sentence of death. But if you have put your faith, you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, you've passed from death into life. And there is no condemnation there. No condemnation. Romans chapter 8, you're familiar with these verses. They're right there from my heart. They're right up there with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore. There is therefore now no condemnation to them. To who? To them, to every believer, everyone that has placed their faith, their trust in Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Yes. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now get this. For the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free. It made me free from the law of sin and death. No longer. We've passed from death into life. And there's no condemnation in Christ. In Christ. Wow. Whew. There's no question about it, folks. We can. Or let me say it right. In Christ. We can have life. In Christ, we can have life. But as well, in Christ, we can have abundant life. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, it's hard. Translate some things, but stick with me here. Jesus has provided the believer with life. Hallelujah. We're thankful for that. But this life is not a life of subsistence. You ever been on one of those diets where you think, I'm just subsistence? It's not life. I mean, you eat and you think, I start asking Marcia, what's for supper? I mean, you just feel like you're just subsisting. But hey, the kind of life that Jesus Christ gave us, it's not a life of subsistence. It's an abundant life. Abundant life. Wow. The life Jesus gives is more, far more than the bare essentials. But even, now think about that. Life in Christ is just flat wonderful. To know I'm alive in Christ. To know that I have eternal life this morning is wonderful. But he says, I didn't just come to give them life. I've come to give it to them more abundantly. It's kind of hard to, started to say a moment ago, it's kind of hard to translate some words out of the Greek text that our Bibles were, our New Testaments were written in. But this word abundantly that our Lord Jesus uses there in John chapter 10, verse 10, tremendous word. It's a tremendous word. This word is used to describe, now you ready for this? This word is used to describe something that's overflowing. Overflowing. Something that is exceedingly abundant. I guess that's why the translators threw that word more abundantly in. But it's still, it's hard to get our heads around that thing in English. Beloved, Jesus has given us life, and a life that is super abundant. A life that is super overflowingly, exceedingly abundant. Stick with me. Consider a few things. And we can only consider a few things here about this abundant life. First of all, it's a new life. Christ gave us a new life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 it said, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism in the death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, or in the same way, is the idea, we also should walk in newness of life. It's a new life. It's a new life. I was the mere lad of 22 years when I got saved. Young. But I was already tired of the old life. Huh?
I was already tired of the old life and the old ways. And I was thankful that Jesus gave me new life. It was a new life. You're familiar with the words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul, you know the words. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. It says, therefore, okay, I love that. Therefore, because of Jesus, therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? As we've seen today, have you put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ to save you from your sin? If that's the case, beloved, I'm grateful, I'm thankful to be able to tell you, you're a new creature in Christ. Huh? This abundant life's a new life. Not the same old, same old. It's a new life. Oh my. Doesn't being new creatures in Christ enhance life? Doesn't it enhance life? But also, secondly, Christ gave us, and I'll use this word, a certain life. A certain life. You don't need to wonder. You don't need to doubt. There, you don't need to question whether you have this life or not. There's a certainty. In 1 John chapter 5, oh, there's lots of scriptures, beloved. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 says this. John writing says, this is the record. This is the record. This is written down. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son. Do you have Jesus Christ this morning? He that hath the Son hath life. What's left the question there? Do you know Jesus? Then you have life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's the, hey, you either have Christ or you don't. In Christ you're saved. You have life. Without Him you're lost and still under death. Verse 13 of that passage, John goes on and he writes, these things have I written. I have written this down. Again, John wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. These things have I written unto you that believe, all you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Huh? Hey, this life isn't maybe. It isn't just hope so. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know you have eternal life. Amen. It's a certain thing that you may know you have eternal life. Oh my, doesn't that certainty enhance this life? Doesn't this certainty make it more abundant to our hearts today? Thirdly, Christ gave us a liberated life. We've already seen some of this from the scriptures we've quoted. Christ gave us a liberated life. We just read a moment ago from Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. Listen to it again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me what? Free. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus has set us free, beloved. He's given us a liberated life. And again, does that not enhance this whole abundant life? I'm free. I've been set free from the bondage of sin and the bondage of death. I'm free. In chapter 8 again, John chapter 8 and verse 32. And it says, "In that you shall know the truth," and what? "The truth shall set you free." We're liberated. Again, in that same 8th chapter, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Thank you, Lord. It's talking about an abundant life. A liberated life. We see this well. Christ gave us a justified life. And again, we talk about that word. We throw it around in our Christian lingo or language. A lot of time we don't understand what we even mean by it. That word justification or to be justified means simply, very simply, beloved, to be made right. Where once I was wrong, God had made me right. He's justified me. Listen again, it's interesting. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. It says there, excuse me, therefore, as by the offense of one, Grandpa Adam, by the offense, the sin of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Is that word again? Even so, or by the same, in the same way, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Jesus died to make us right. Jesus gave His life so that you and I could be made right. Wow. Gave us a justified life. Doesn't the knowledge that you have been made right with God speak to this abundant life that we have in Christ? Wow, we could go on and on with this. I'm thankful that Christ gave us a hopeful life. It's a hopeful life. Something about hope, isn't there? In Titus, Paul's letter to Titus in verse chapter 1, verse 2, it says this. In hope, in hope of eternal life, which God, now listen, that cannot lie. You and I that walk on two legs lie. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Life. The hope of life. Christ gave us a hopeful life, beloved. Where there's hope. Where there's hope, there's energy in a sense. Where there's hope, there's strength. Where there's hope, there's endurance. Jesus died to give us that hope. In this life that He has given to us, it's a life of hope. It's a life of hope. And beloved, when everything else in your life seems to be falling apart, your hope in Christ never fails. The hope that Christ died to give you will never cease, never fail. Will never fail. But then lastly, this one seems a little different, but just as biblical. In Christ, we have a royal life. Christ gave us a royal life. It's interesting. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Again, this great contrast between what we received by Adam and what we received by Christ. What did we receive from Grandpa Adam? Death and judgment. And what do we receive by Jesus Christ, the last Adam? Life. Listen to these words. For if by one man's offense death reigned. Listen. Death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign. shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Where death once reigned, life now reigns. James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. The crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. It's a royal life. We also find in Romans that we've been made heirs, joint heirs with Christ. It's a royal life. That aspect of this super abundant life should blow us away. I'm blown away by this. Please consider it. Remember that we who were rebels, we, the very sinners that caused Him to come to this earth planet to what? Die. We that caused Him to come here to die for sin. We are those that He came to die for. And yet He's given us a part in His royal family. Is that amazing? Blows me away. Listen to this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Verse 17. And if children, if you are indeed a child of God, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Huh? My sin was the reason He went to that cross. Huh? I was the rebel. I was the one turning my back on Him. I'm the one doing my own thing. And He left glory, came here to this earth planet to die for me and for you. And in that, the moment that you receive Him as your Savior, you become a child of the King. A joint heir with Christ. Part of the royal family, if that's beyond my comprehension. Wow. That's abundant life, brothers and sisters. That's abundant life. In the labor and the grind of everyday life, these things are kind of easy to lose sight of. Huh? Tomorrow, about mid-morning, and you're at the job, and you're banging your head against the wall, and everything seems to be going wrong, and it's kind of easy to forget the abundant life we have in Christ. Huh? Right? Man, don't look at me that way. Brothers and sisters, those circumstances can steal from us the joy of this abundant life that's ours. Don't let circumstances steal that from you. Oh my. It'd do us well to write it down and put it someplace we see all the time, like the refrigerator. Jesus died to give me life. And to give me abundant life. An abundant life. Please, just take the time to consider what you have in Jesus. It'll get you through. But again, not just through. As we've been seeing in these weeks, you won't just get through. You'll experience in Christ. We can. Huh? In Christ, we can. We can experience that abundant life, beloved. My friend, if you're here this morning and you've been considering that question we asked earlier, what are you believing? What are you resting your hope on of heaven? Doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter the question I would ask. But if God asked you that question, what are you trusting for your salvation? What are you trusting to deliver you from your sin? What would you answer? Is it Jesus? Jesus is the only answer. None other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before you. Oh my. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the life that you died to give to us. My. Thank you for paying the price of my sin. Thank you, Father, for that great, great work to provide our salvation. Lord, we want to rejoice in you today. We want to live lives that would be a reflection of that abundant life that you provided for us. Oh, Lord, across this room, Lord, please, might you move by your Spirit. Lord, I plead with you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Please, Lord, don't let anyone, don't let even one leave this room today without that assurance, that certainty to know that they're saved. Father, please, we know, as we've read this morning, that all those that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Please, Lord. Please, Lord, make that message real. Father, help us. Help us one and all that are saved to live in the abundance of the life that you died to give us. We're grateful. We're thankful of the abundance of eternal life and all that we have in eternity future. Well, Lord, I'm praying you'd help us to live in that abundant life now. That indeed we might be a reflection of Christ to all those around us. His love, His grace, His mercy, His compassions. Lord, make it real. Make it real in this preacher. Make it real in this people. That indeed we would be that light to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful, Father, that as we realize it's not us, it's not what we can do, but what we can do in Christ. Thank you for Jesus today. It's in His name and for His glory that we pray. Amen. Brother John.
Page 353.
Please do what the Lord would have you to do. Please obey Him. Don't hesitate. Don't stand there, please. God's speaking to your heart. Obey Him. Do what He'd say to you. These altars are open for you. Place of prayer. Place where you might come and we can point you to Jesus. What a shame to hear about Him and yet not know Him. Please obey the Lord today. Believer, these altars are open as we sing, please.
While we pray and while we plead, while you see your soul's deep need, while our Father Father calls you home, will you not, my brother, come? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? You have wandered far away. Do not risk another day. Do not turn from God thy face, but today accept His grace. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? In the world you fail to find aught of peace for troubled mind. Come to Christ, on Him believe, peace and joy you shall receive. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Come to Christ, confession make. Come to Christ and pardon take. Trust in Him from day to day. He will keep you all the way. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? While we pray and while we plead, while you see your soul's deep need, while our Father calls you home, will you not, my brother, come? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
Amen. What an answer to that question. Why not now? When's a better time to be saved? Paul said now, today's the day of salvation. No better time than now. What a shame it would be indeed to hear the gospel and go home lost, to leave this place without Christ. My prayer every Sunday as I pray after I preach is, Lord, please, 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 don't let anyone leave this church house lost. Please, Lord, don't let them go home lost. Now, I don't know hearts. I don't know lives. I just plead with God to work in hearts, to do those eternal, beautiful things. It's a beautiful thing to be saved. Huh? To know you have life in Christ. To know that you'll be right with Him for all eternity. That certainty, an abundant life. My prayer for all of us. Father, once again, please, in the quietness of this room, Father, please speak to every heart, every life. Oh, Father, please don't let anyone, don't let a single person, single soul, leave this room today without Christ. Oh, God, I know that You're a God who saves. I know that You are a God who changes lives. Lord, please do those beautiful, eternal things in hearts and lives today. We love You, Lord. We so love You because You first loved us. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to continue to deal with this little one, so please be in prayer for her. Brother John, would you come and dismiss us in a chorus, please?
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, Blessed Assurance.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
You're dismissed.